Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Pei Gimel, we are holding 16 lines off the top of the Amud, and it's pretty much a continuation of yesterday's discussion. So we begin with a story, Haugavra, a story about this fellow, Davaka Ma'aver, Chavisa, the Chamra. So he was transporting some barrels of wine, Beristika de Mechoiza, in the streets, in the square of Mechoiza, out in the open. Vatavra, and he dropped it. He broke it by crashing into a protruding ledge. Vatavra, he broke the barrel Beziza, in a ziz, in a ledge, coming out of a building, the Mechoiza of Mechoiza. So basically, he was out in the open, transporting somebody's material. He bumped and he crashed. Also, came to Rav, he comes to Rav. Amalei, and he told him, look, Ristika de Mechoiza, if you're out in the open, the street of Mechoiza, Shchichi Vayinchi, there are plenty of people, plenty of pedestrians walking by. Certainly, somebody must have taken note, and you have to actually prove your claim by producing a witness. You can't just get away with a shvua, as we learned yesterday. Zil Aisi Raibi Fata, bring a raya, bring Adam, says Rashi. Einoi neman b'shvua ela b'edim. Okay. Amalei Rav Yosef, praise Rav Yosef, turns to his father, Rava. Keman ki Isi, do you mean like Isi, who said that a shvua is only sufficient when there is nobody in the vicinity, but otherwise you have to produce witnesses? Are you going with that opinion, Amalei? Yeah, in, correct. Right on. Ki Isi, in ki Isi. The Sivirulun Kavasein, that's how we paskin. That's the halacha. Another similar story, Ahogavar, this fellow, Damal Chavre, tells his friend, listen, Shimon, can you do me a favor and buy for me, Zil Zavonli Arba Meya, 400 Dani de Chamra, 400, barrels of wine. Azil Zavonli, so Shimon, the agent, went and purchased those barrels, put them away, and then it turns out that they were sour. It turned into vinegar. Shimon approaches Ruvain with bad news. Amalei says, look, actually, I bought you the wine, but look, it's soured. Amalei is vinilach. Arba mea dani chamra. I purchased for you the 400 barrels, ut kivalu, and they soured. Also come at the Rava, so he comes to Rav. Amalei, and he says, look, you have to prove your case. Arba mea dani de chamra. Listen to me. 400 barrels of wine, that's a huge quantity. Tkifi, when they sour, Kala Isla Lemilsa. That's major news. Such a large quantity going sour. Zil Aisi Raya. You have to prove your case. You have to bring a Raya. You have to bring Adam. The Mikara. That initially, Kimaz Banaslu, when you purchased those barrels, Chamra Malyab. It was true to its name. It was real wine. Unsoured wine. And then it's soured. The Vifater now. If you do that, Yipater, I'll exempt you. Because otherwise, says Rashi, you never know. Could be, listen to this, could be, this fellow was pulling a fast one. He actually got a good deal on vinegar. He was tasked with buying wine, given a certain amount of money, and he went and he bought vinegar for a lower price. Now he comes back pretending that it was really wine for a full price, and then it's sour. No, no, no. This is something too substantial. It's too big of an event to go by with, unnoticed. Says Rabbi, you have to prove your case. Bring Adam. What exactly happened? When it soured? Where it was? And that will exempt you. Amalei Rav Yosef Bri. So again, Rav Yosef, his own son, asked his father, come on, whose opinion are you following that you insist on Adam? Ki Isi? Amalei, yeah, in Ki Isi. Usvir al Kavasein, that's how we pask. Asking Rav Chia Bar Yosef. Rav Chia Bar Yosef established the following halacha, besichra, in the town of Sichra. Hani, these individuals, the Daru, who transport loads, be'agra, with a certain tool called agra, Rashi says, it was like some sort of bent pole, a wooden pole that was bent in the middle, like a water carrier pole, which hangs on both sides of your neck, which is meant for two loads, okay? So typically you hang two, two barrels or two containers, two pitchers. So it's meant for heavy loads. Hani the Dora Ba'agra V'idbar. So his fellow who, right? So they take some loads with this thing, and they really overload it, right? They hang two bags on, you know, one on each side, and it turns out that, you know, collapsed, it broke. Nishali Pago. He has to pay for half. Why? My time and why? Navash Lachad, because in reality, the load that he put on there is really too much for one person. Vizuta Latre, but it's too little for two people. So basically, he's taking a risk. Now, it seems like it was an acceptable risk, but you're taking a risk, after all, so you're responsible partially. Karav la'ines, we treat it like it's something which is almost like an accident, v'karav la'pshia, but also almost like an act of negligence. It's somewhere in the middle. And therefore, you're obligated to pay for half. Interesting. B'digla, a different type of carrying, a means of carrying, a different type of a pole of some sort, Rashi says, This thing has like a fork like design to it. So it starts off as one and then splits into two behind your back. So you have two, one on each side of your back, going back, and you hang a load on each side. So again, the same idea. He's doing this and he's carrying a heavy load. Mishalem kula. This time, if it breaks, he's got to pay entirely. Rashi says, because here you're not meant to. You know, overload it to this extent that it would break. It's called a pshia. Shehirba v'masa shnei bnei adam, because if he puts, beyond, he carries beyond, one person's capacity, right? This is meant for two people, and you overloaded yourself in your chai. You're a pshia. Okay, you have to know the exact, how these things work, the exact, the load of these apparatuses. But it seems like the first case, he was only partially responsible. In the second case, he's fully responsible for overloading it. Rabba Bar Chana. So he had a story. He hired these people, these Jewish people, to transport his barrels of wine. Tavrulei Hanu Shekuloi. These transporters broke for him, Chavisa Dacham, his wine barrel. Shaka Ligli Mayu. So it was some sort of situation where he considered them to be responsible. So he took their garment as as security for repayment. Also, Amrulei L'Rav, they came to complain to Rav Amrulei. So Rav tells Rav Barachana, Havlu Glimai, return their garment. Amrulei, so he says, why? Dinachi, this is the halacha. What do you mean? They're responsible. Amrulei says, in, yeah, for you it is. Go beyond the letter of the law. They're not, outright responsible. There's an element of responsibility. So now, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. Rashi says, this is a source for lifnim yeshur sadin. So return their garment. Okay, you went and returned the garment. Amalei said they complained to him again. Aniyanan, we're poor people, we're poor laborers. We worked for you all day, we're now hungry. You're not paying us, we're hungry. We have nothing to buy food. Amalei. So they told this to Rav. So Rav responded again to Rav Barachana. Amalei, zil havagrai, go pay them their wages. Amalei didn't have his. He says, well, this is the way is the din? I mean, they broke my barrel. Not only am I not charging them, I have to pay them for their work. Amalei says, yeah, even to that extent. In v'aruches tzadikim, that's the way of righteous people, tishmar. So therefore, go beyond. Not only don't charge them, you go pay them for their work so that they could have some food for dinner. Hadron Allah ha'seichas omnim. Says the Mishnah, ha'seichas ha'poyalim. A poil is a laborer, a day laborer, right? So you hire some workers. Barmalim tells them, Lahashkim laharif. I want you to come early. I want you to stay late, right? Overtime. Mokim shenago shaloi lahashkim. Vishaloi laharif. The accepted, practice in that locale was not to come too early or late. Basically, you work a full day, but that's it. Einai rashai lakoif, and he can't force them to come before daybreak or to stay after nightfall. Mokim shenago lozim. Furthermore, there's a minig. The accepted practice is that the employer provides, lunch. He's only has to provide. L'safak masika. There's a minute to provide them with bread accompaniment as well. The sapek, he has to add the accompaniment as well. Right? So bread and butter, whatever. Ha'koyel kamin ha'kamdini, you have to follow the local practice. There's a story, Maaseh, Rabbi Yechmin Maaseh. Shammal Abna, he asked his son to hire some workers. Say, go out, go get me some workers. So his son went out, found some workers, halachu pasuk lemezonos, and he stipulated to them that he will provide for their lunch, which wasn't really necessary because it's understood, right? It's the accepted practice. He didn't have to add that commitment as well. So when he came back to his father and he related to him that he spoke to him about work and about providing food, the father says, one second, B'ni, my dear son, you know what? You're getting yourself into trouble because by actually articulating this additional sort of commitment, what you indicated to them is, look, you're offering them something beyond the standard fear. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to say it, right? B'ni, afilu yimata oislam kesudas. Shlomo b'shatos. Now the sky's the limit. Who's to say where to stop? Even if you provide for them, like Shlomo HaMelech Suda in his heyday, lo yatzach sedechavos cheimon. You haven't fulfilled your obligation with them because they're children of royalty. They're shem bnei Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, right? Klal Yisrael, children of the Avos. And Rashi brings out based on the Gemara that we're gonna calculate that Avram Avinu's Suda, when he invited his guests, was even greater in magnitude proportionally than Shlomo HaMelech. So you have to provide endless amount of food. So quickly go back and cancel that deal. Ela ad shelo yaschil b'melacha. Rather, quickly, before they start working, once they start, you're committed. Before they get started, so it's just verbals, go quickly and retract that offer. Say v'emar lehem, clarify exactly what we have in mind. Explain to them, al manash she'enach ma'olah, you can start working on condition that you only have on me, elapas v'kitnis bavad, some bread and, you know, and some beans, a basic food. Rav Shimon le loymer, lo yatzarach loymer, you know, it was unnecessary to go and explain yourself, hakol kamidah medina, after all, you're only committed based on what's commonly practiced, which was a basic meal. So the Mishnah began, you can't force your workers to come, you know, before daybreak, to stay after nightfall, pshita, obviously, I mean, why would you think otherwise? Lo yitzricha de tafala grayer. The answer is like this. Even if you explain it to them, but if it's against the minhag, right, and you can't force them, the answer is because you paid them extra. Malga Temer said, perhaps I would say, Amar Lahu, he can tell them, look, there's a reason why I paid you more. I gave you an extra bonus, overtime. Hada Tafoy Lahu, I grechel, the reason why I added to your base salary, Adata de Makdemisu Machachisu Badoi. I intended that you come early with me and stay late. Kamash won the point is no. The Amr lady, tell him, Hi, the Tavaslan Adata, the reason why you added and gave us a bonus, Adata, the Avdin and Lachavita Teshapirta. So that the quality of our work is superior to the standard, right? So we took that extra bonus to do extra, better work for you, but not in terms of overtime. Amar Shlokish, the halacha is poel b'chnisasa mishaloi. When he goes back in, meaning when he leaves work, right? So basically, a day's work starts. It consists of the period between Neitzachama, daybreak, and Tesek Lechavim, nightfall, right? Now, that's when he's going to work. But what about travel time? Is that within this time frame? Or outside the time frame? Meaning, does he leave home before Neitzachama? He gets to work at Neitzachama? Or does he leave home at daybreak and he gets to work whenever he gets there? Same question regarding leaving at night. Does he leave at nightfall and then travels home? Or does he give himself enough time? Does he leave a little bit early to allow himself to get home by nightfall? So it's one-on-one. Amr Shlokesh Poyel, a worker, when he leaves work, when he goes back home, that travel time is on his account, meaning he leaves at nightfall and he travels through the night. But when he leaves to work in the morning, that travel time is on the employer's account. Basically, he leaves home at Neitzachama, and then travels to work. And it's based on a pasuk, Shenema Tizrach Hashem Ech Yosefun, Vel Moinosam Yerbotzen. So by Zrichas Hashemesh, all the animals go back to their dens. Yeitzei Adam Lepoyaloy Lavidosei Adi Orev. So the worker goes out lefaler to his work at daybreak. He leaves his home, and he works all the way till adiara, until absolute darkness, and then he leaves for home. Asks the Gemara, why discuss this? I mean, take a look at the local bylaws. Take a look at the common practice. Bir Chadash, it's a newly established city, it doesn't have bylaws. So take a look at where the residents came from, where they originated from, and follow that city's bylaws. And could tell you, they were, you know, sort of an odd collection of different places, and we don't have an absolute tradition on this. Because what happened was, the employer stipulated, I'm going to hire you based on the Torah formula. So we look at the Torah for guidance. Dorash Rabbi Zera. Some say Tani Rav Yosef. We're going to use the same pasuk in a drasha context. So we use it for halacha. Now for a drasha, for a shtickle chizek or shtickle musar. Ma'idich said, what does the pasuk mean? Tashas choshech v'yiloyla boitir mo'yiskel chaysayar. Tashas choshech v'yiloyla Hashem casts darkness and comes night. Zeilum azeh, it's going on this world. Shedem v'layla, which is comparable to the darkness of night. And Mesillas Yesharim writes, because at nighttime a person has two issues. First of all, he fails to see the truth. Number two, he can get confused. Something that looks, appears like gold, which is really just a plain piece of metal. So a person is tempted to ignore the truth. That's not one, number one. Not to fail to see, the truth. And also to deem a non-truth as truth. Two separate issues. So throughout the night, all the, you know, wild animals roam. Elu Rishoyim is a reference to evildoers. Shaboy within this world, Shadom and Chaya, Shabayar, comparable to these wild animals. Shidruch Hashem is Seifun. Vel my Nasam Yerbotson, what does that mean? That's going on when Hashem reveals Himself. Tizruch Hashem is Tzadikim, the sun, the Shechina, will reveal itself to the Tzadikim, Lassid Lavoy. Yerseifun, Rishoyim, Lugahenri, Yerseifun is going on the Rishoyim, who will be cast away to Gehenim. Vel Mainasam Yerbotsan, what does that mean? Every tzaddik has his own personal abode in Gan Eden. Einlecha kol tzaddik a tzaddik. She'einlei model of vichvoid, every single tzaddik will have a booth, an abode which corresponds to his efforts and his reward due to his work in this world. Yeitzu adav lepa'aloi, that's going on tzaddikim. Yeitzu tzaddikim lekabal scharan avedos ardi orev, tzaddikim will go out and receive their reward for their toil, adi orev. What does that mean? They work till the very last day, till the very last breath. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was nifty, he said, Chab nishkin koyach. Chab shenem nishkin koyach. He worked till his last breath. But Misha Hishlam Avedosi adi orev, those who completed their work, adi orev. Orev, says Rashi, is a time of Misa, and Marsha adds, orev is a lashon of sweetness. Because it's tzaddik's conclusion. When he finishes his job, it's all sweet. He's going to the sweetness of the world to come. Rav Elazar ben Shimon. Here comes a story. Rav Elazar ben Shimon, Ashkach Lahu Parguna. See, he bumps into this sheriff, Lahu Parhaguna, the Katavas Gandhi, who was arresting thieves. Amrale, he says to him, Heche Yachaslu, how do you know you're reaching the thieves? Lav Kechayusa Mesili. Doesn't the pasuk equate them to these animals who slither away when daylight shows up? So how do you know you're tracking on the right people? I mean, chances are the real thieves are hiding out. So during nighttime you have the thieves roaming the streets, but during daytime they're not to be found. Ikad Amri, some say Mahakruk Amalei, he was quoting a different pasuk. Yeroi b'mista ka'ari b'suchai, the lion, the criminals, they hide in their dens. So basically, Dilma, Shaklas Sadiki Vishafkas Rishi. How do you know you're catching the Rishayim? Chances are the ones that are visible are not really the Rishayim, they're hiding out. So the fugitives are hard to catch. The ones that you're catching are perhaps innocent people, and you're arresting them for doing no wrong. Amrali, so the sheriff responds, Umay Ivid, what should I do? I have an order from the king to try to do my best to catch the criminals. Harmono de Malko, who it's the king's order. Amar, so he says, look, I understand, but let me teach you how to find the real criminals. How do you identify a criminal? Ta, come here. Agmarach, I will teach you, I will show you, hey Chatavid, what to do. Oil ba'arba shoy lechanusa. 4 hours into the day, go into the local restaurant when people are coming to have their breakfast. Ki chazes inish. As soon as he notices this person, the kashasi chamra. So he's drinking wine. Vikonokit kasabiyadi. He's holding this glass. Vikonokit. He sees dozing off. What's he so tired early in the morning? Oh, he must have had a long night's work. Shoy the way. Go inquire, investigate. What exactly he's doing? Well, what's his profession? If he's a Talmud Chacham, okay, that explains it. V'naim, and he's falling asleep because he got up early to learn. Agdumi kadum lagirse, he got up early to learn. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's got up 4:30 in the morning to learn. Okay, that explains why he's tired. You know, come 11 o'clock, he's already, you know, halfway through his day. Okay, if he's a laborer, kadum ka'avad avitim, maybe he got up early to work. So that's what explains why he's tired. If you know that he doesn't work during daytime, so maybe he works at night. And even though you don't hear him, you know, work, he does a quiet job. He does computing, right? Rududi radid, Rashi says this was some sort of profession that they would fashion these metallic threads, which doesn't make noise. That explains why he's tired come morning. V'ilai, but if he doesn't really qualify for any of the above, there's only one more option. Ganvu, he's a nighttime thief. And that's why he's knocked out come morning. V'tafse, and go arrest him. Okay, so this is a way to know who's who. Ishtavu sabimalka. So the authorities heard about this tremendous wisdom. Amri, they said, okay, crime of the igrusa. The letter reader, it's a mashal. The one who reads the letter, Ihu Lahavi Pervanka, let him be the one to carry out the instructions. Basically, you're such an expert. Rabbi Lezer Shimon, go ahead and take the job, right? Asur, little Rabbi Lezer Shimon. So they brought him, they appointed him as the sheriff. Fikatov is Ganavim, and started arresting Ganavim. And amongst them, there were Yidden, right? Fikatov is Ganavim, Shalach le Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Rabbi Shimon Karcha sent him a very stern message. Chaimetz ben Yain, your father was an honest man, a tzaddik. Yain, wine, you're equated to chaimetz, to vinegar. Vinegar, the son of wine. Why are you getting involved in arresting Yidden? Ad mase atam meisir amoy shal lekinu lariga. Until when are you going to pass on members of our nation to the king for punishment for killing? Shalach le, he says, what should I do? Koitzim ani mechalem in hakerem. He spoke about wines. He says, continue with the same metaphor. He says, I'm just eradicating weeds and thorns who are destroying the vineyard. These are criminals. Shalach, he responded, that's not your responsibility. Hashem will take care of them. Yovei balakerem, the vineyard owner will come along, v'chalas koitzev, and destroy the, weed out the, you know, the thorns. It's none of your business. Okay, in any case, one day, Pogabei Okevis, this laundry man, meets Rav Ezer Shimon, and he had some choice words for him. Kari called him Chavis ben Yayin. Okay? Amar Asur, Blazer says, the fact that he's expressing such brazenness, Shmamina Rishihu, that indicates that he's a Rasha. Amarlu, he told his people, Tafsuo, arrest him. Tafsuo, they arrested him, and eventually they killed him. Levasa Nachnavsh, Daite, after Elizabeth Shimon sort of, you know, was at ease, Azab Asrela Frukes, he went and tried to find him to, you know, get him out of jail to redeem him. Velay Matzi, he couldn't get him, he was already killed. Kari Alei, so he applied the following pasuk on this troublemaker, Shomer Piv L'Shonai, if one guards the words of his mouth, he can save himself from lots of trouble. Shomer Mitzaris Nafshi. So fool, eventually they hung this person, come to say, Skifos, Blazer Shimon, stood underneath this fellow who was hung, of a kabachi, he was crying, he felt bad. Look what happened due to his Amrle. So the Talmidim told him, Rebbe, Al Re'er Beinecha, don't be distressed about him. This fellow did the worst things. Shehu, Bnoi, Himim, Sinimim, and his son, Balu, Naram, Rasa, they got involved as married with a betrothed woman. Be'em HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur itself, he was deserving of this punishment. Rashi says, Bezman would apply skila to this person, death by stoning, which eventually, he eventually gets hung. That's the standard procedure. So that's what happened. Hashem arranged the same thing for him. Okay, so once he heard this, he felt exonerated, he was pleased. He niach yode al bnei eya meyav, so Rav Shimon placed his hands on his stomach, on his belly, he had a large body. Amar, he says, sisu bnei meyai, my innards, rejoice, sisu bnei meyai, sisu, you should rejoice. Look, umas veke shulachem kach, look what happened to a situation where, you know, I wasn't sure about this fellow that he was really a criminal. I, you know, it was sort of a guess. And kach, it turns out that he's talking to himself, you were right on, that you got a bullseye, you ended up being right. Certainly, when it involves a situation where it is firmly based on, you know, true indicators, like the fellow falling asleep in the bar, which indicates that he's really a criminal, and therefore, I have no fear, no worry that I'm going the wrong way. I'm confident in you, he's like sort of addressing his body, that you're so spiritualized, you're not going to be affected by worms after death. Basically, I'm going on the right path with nothing to worry. Any worms will not, you know, affect you after my death. Even though he was proven right this time, let me ask for daite, he wasn't really at ease. He wanted to sort of take a test, a spirituality test on his body. to see where he's holding. So what do? They perform this very complicated, interesting, it's very complicated operation. Ashkiyu Osama Deshin. So they gave him sleeping, you know, agents, some sort of anesthetic. Vailu la base of the shisha, they put him into this airtight, this stone, this marble room, the sterile room. The cover the crazy, they opened up his stomach. Vava mafka minay, and they were drawing out of his stomach. The kuli, pails and pails, the tarba of fat. Umoisi v'shimsha, and they placed the fat, his fat, his body material in the sun, in a sunny day. B'tamazvav, middle of the summer. Vali masrach, they didn't spoil. Which indicated that they were beyond, you know, laws of nature. They were spiritualized. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Kol tar b'nam l'sriach. Typically, fat on its own doesn't really spoil. So what's the big deal? Answers the Gemara. Kol tar b'lisriach. Typically, pure fat doesn't spoil. But shiraiki sumki, these red streaks, which are sort of meaty material, masriach, that does affect and does get affected and spoiled. Hachi, in this case, afagav d'ikas shiraiki sumki, even though they had these streaks, loy masriach, it didn't get affected, and therefore, when he saw what happened, he was pleased. Kari and Afshei applied to himself the pasuk, apasara, even my flesh, my physical material, is so spiritualized, and will be protected forever. Yishka navetach. Okay, so we started with the sugya of bringing Edom to exonerate a fellow who broke some, you know, material as he was transporting it. We discussed in Flemishur Sadin about hiring workers, and in terms of the travel time, that was based on a pasuk, which led us into the drush about putting in effort as a tzaddik throughout one's life, which guarantees him a beautiful, sweet future. And then we moved on to Reza Shimon, who got involved in criminal chasing, and they did this test on him, which proved his immense, highest level of ruchnius. Muftachani she'ein rima v'teila she'letes b'chem. All the best to you. Hatzlacha rabba.